have the right authority and green light. Was he healed when they prayed? When the disciples prayed, he wasn't healed. And we say, well, it wasn't the will of God. It wasn't the timing of God. Well, you know, God just has a purpose in it all. That's not what the gospel says. The gospel says, you faithless, corrupted-minded, twisted-thinking people, the fall of man has affected you more than you realize. Your mind spin and you get in fear and self-centered and self-conscious, and you don't realize who you are because of me. How long shall I be with you and bear with you? It sounds like he's frustrated. He's not. He's full of passion. How long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring the boy to me. What he's saying is, guys, I'm heading to Jerusalem. My face is set. I will be crucified and raised from the dead. And I'm passing you the baton. And you will be my New Testament church. And the way the Father sent me, I'm sending you. You have got to get this. Bring the boy to me. Boom. And he was healed. They come privately. Why couldn't we do it? Because of your unbelief. Not because of the Father's unbelief. Not because of the generational curses. Hello? Oh man, that stuff. We've made a monster out of things. You show me one person Jesus prayed for and they weren't healed because of a generational curse. And then you tell the person it's a generational curse and you send them home and they feel cursed. God have mercy. If it's not in the life of Jesus, don't let it be in yours. If it's not in the language of Jesus, don't let it be yours. We pursue him. Even if we don't see the results, we know they're possible and we stay in his presence and pursue him and don't back off. The level of healing I'm seeing now is so accelerated from what I saw 7, 8, 10 years ago. Why? Because when people died when I prayed, I didn't back off and question the gospel. I didn't subpoena God in my mind. I fell on my knees and I prayed for his mercy and I asked him to build the kingdom in me with understanding because I know his word is true. Come on, Psalms 138, 2. If he magnified his word above his name, shouldn't we magnify his word above our feelings and circumstances? How dare we preach doctrine and theology through life lived instead of Jesus Christ? What a deception when we say God's this way and that way because it's the way it seems through life. The way he is through Christ. He healed the epileptic boy and he told him it's because of your unbelief, but truly I tell you this, if you have faith fully convinced, the substance, the realization of your hope. The world says don't get your hope up. Christians say that. Look, we prayed for Sally, we prayed for Jenny, we prayed for Betty and they all died. Look, we'll pray, maybe God will come, but honey, don't get your hope up. We can't guarantee. We'll call on his mercy. If he sovereignly comes, great. But honey, you might have to prepare to meet him. Don't get your hope up, but we'll pray. And all of a sudden, your sword's tucked in the sheath. And you're not even fighting the good fight of faith. You're saying, whatever will be, it's God's call. And he said, you're the body of Christ. Whatever you ask believing, in my name, it shall be done. Abide in me and let my word abide in you. And whatever you ask, I will do it. Whoever asks whatever, believing, it shall be given. Where two agree touching anything on earth, it shall be done. The exceeding greatness of my power to you who believe, which is in agreement in accordance with the same power I exerted when I raised my son from the dead. Lay your hands on the sick, believing they shall recover. Scripture after scripture after scripture, and yet we put it on the sovereignty of God and the choice of God as if he's in total control and everything that happens is God's will. No, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, not the choice of God. The power of life and death is in your and my tongue, not the sovereign administration desk of God. We reap what we sow, and we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. That's Bible. And the earth he did give to the children of men. We're the body of Christ, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It's God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask, think, or imagine by the power that's working through us. And we're waiting on God, and God's waiting on us. We teach him in a way that gives men a right to subpoena him or have their heart harped towards him. They feel like God failed. And it's actually the evidence of a body that's walking without the revelation of its head. If Jesus said faith moves mountains and all things are possible to them that believe, we must be missing something. So instead of getting condemned and rewriting the book to make us feel better about what we feel bad about at the cost of truth, what do you say? We'll humble ourselves and grow in him and grow up into all things to the full measure of the stature of his anointing. Because it's available. There's no retreat. There's no backing up. Let's stop putting it on God. And let's stop putting it on people. And let's grow in love, because when we love, he comes. Follow me? Everybody I'm touching isn't getting healed right now. Bang. But I'm telling you, I'm going to have it.
Mark my words. We is on a roll.
It's my covenant birthright and privilege to manifest the kingdom of God. To subdue the earth, not be subdued by it. If redemption means brought back to original value, and Adam was in the garden to subdue the earth, then through Christ, we're back to that place. Because he's the last Adam. And all things are restored. It is finished. We're growing in a revelation. We've submitted to the enemy in a lot of ways, and we've taken his language, his thoughts and ideas, and integrated them in to the gospel. In many cases, we've incorporated God into our lives instead of giving him our lives. We still have too much of a voice and an opinion. The word ought to rule and reign. How can I have the realization of my hope and the evidence of what I haven't seen unless I've settled and established the will of God in a situation? What gives a man the evidence of what he hasn't seen? What gives the man the realization of his hope? What gives him something beyond mere hope? Knowing the will of God. Knowing the heart of God. He says in Ephesians 5:17, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He said in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. It's not the prayer of hope. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. And faith works through love. So you see the love of God for a person, and you see the extent of God's mercy through sending his son to reach them. And you realize it's been paid and accomplished, and God's love is abounding. And you pray for them in Jesus' name. It's powerful. Don't be deceived and talk yourself out of that. Let's march on and believe. Amen. He says, let's not draw back to destruction. Let's believe to the saving of the soul. You know what your soul is, right? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. There's the stumbling block. I'm really late. Forgive me. If you've got to slip out, slip out. But I've got to wrap this up. Why couldn't we do it? The epileptic boy. He's talking to his disciples. Because of your unbelief. He didn't put it on anything else. He said, because you let your mind spin and go corrupt and think twisted. It's easy. He's an epileptic. He's seizing. There's a visual. He's seizing. They're praying and he's still seizing. And their minds are battling. Why isn't it stopping? It doesn't seem like this is working. God's not moving here. Should we even be praying? Are we praying something wrong? If Jesus was here, he'd be healed by now. I wonder what's up. All of a sudden, they're praying from the position of what's not happening instead of what's available. All of a sudden, they're driven by the problem instead of the promise. All of a sudden, the crisis is the motivation instead of the Christ that lives on the inside of us. Happens to us all the time. Be humble. You pray for a man with Parkinson's and you're staring and you're thinking, he ain't not stopping shaking. And you try to pray a better prayer and a more spiritual prayer and quote another scripture. And all of a sudden it's your works instead of his work. We've got to grow in this stuff to where the revelation of Christ is flowing through us. Don't just call it a gift. It's a revelation. The sign follows a believer. A believer is fully convinced. He's walking with God. He's in God's presence. The Lord Jesus Christ in red letters said that if you have faith, you'll say to the mountain, move, and it will move, and nothing shall be impossible for you. You can throw that away. You can diffuse that. You can water that down. That's your privilege. But he's talking to us, and he's talking to me. You can get hurt, you can take life personal, and you can define the gospel through your pain. Or you can honor Jesus and his word and say, yes, God, and go after him. He's telling me that if I believe, nothing's impossible. Praying isn't the sign of faith. Speaking to a mountain isn't faith. It's the mountain moving. That's faith. We say, well, I prayed. I believed. We believed. God must have allowed. God must have took. God must have. We speak this language that's detrimental to faith and growth. So it seems right to a man. So he says, if you have faith, say the mountain, move it or move it. Nothing shall be impossible for you. However, this kind. He is not talking about the epilepsy. He just gave him an unhinged, unlimited promise. He's not backpedaling. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not saying, oh, except, look, I forgot about this demon guy. He's a little tough. Look, I know I just gave you everything through me and by faith and told you nothing's impossible, but this guy's tough. You'll have to fast and pray for him. That would be works. What are they talking about? Why couldn't we do what you did? Because you don't see what I see. That's all Jesus is saying. Why couldn't we do it? You don't see what I see. But if you do see what I see, you'll do what I do. But you won't see what I see unless you stay in the presence of God through prayer and fasting. That's the word of the Lord. It's all about changing your perspective. It's all about getting your eye clear and clean and pure and holy to where all you see is what he sees. I step into that and it's so fun. And then there's times I'm just not there and I don't like that. And I humble myself and I kneel and I seek God and I ask him for more revelation and consume me with understanding. I get out in the streets and I so see it. Or I get into service, I so see it. I literally tell people, you're going to love this. You know, I'm ordering pizza and the guy's hurting. I say, oh my gosh, you're going to love this. Take my hand. Watch what God does. What? Watch what. Boom. He's like, oh my gosh. The guy making pizza comes over. He's sick. Bang. He's healed. The lady behind her cleaning tables. It's like, it's just, she's healed. A lady walks up and says, starts talking. I said, did you see what God just did? Did you hear? She says, no. What? I said, man, he just healed this guy and this guy. He took all their pain. Oh, really? Well, then take the pain out of my left knee. Sarcastic. So then take the pain out of my left knee. Heal my left knee.
I said, well, sure. He's the one that heals, and he's here, and he loves you, girl.
Knee in the knee. I'm holding my dry. She's full of attitude. In Jesus' name, knee be healed. Every pain I command you in the authority of Jesus' name, come out of her. Knee be restored to your creative value and serve this woman. In Jesus' name, be whole. So check your knee, honey. She's like, oh my gosh. Now she's humbled because she was just full of attitude being sarcastic. Oh, is that so? Oh, so he did, huh? Well, then fix me. It's amazing how none of that bothered God. She doesn't even know why she feels like she feels. She's been living in the world, guys. She's been tainted and touched by lies. She's become proud like the rest of us were proud. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The goodness of God leads men to change.
So what do? You love her and you pray for her. You don't say, girl, you have an attitude. It'd be a cold day in hell if God ever touches you.
Here, let me give you this little booklet on repentance. who you pray for. I'm telling you. Todd has a video of a guy with tattoos, and he had a shirt on with an upside down cross, and it had something else on it. And he's out in the street praying for him on the video camera, and nothing happened. And the guy said, yeah, well, dude, maybe it's my shirt. Maybe my shirt's holding up the whole process. Todd said, your shirt doesn't have the power to stop God. Neither does your heart, your misunderstanding. He said, in Jesus' name. It triggered something in Todd. Todd was like, absolutely not. Your shirt doesn't have the power. Because he knows the kid's deceived. It's all he knows. He doesn't even know why he's so angry. Jesus, they couldn't even show the video hardly because they had to put so many bleeps in it. He goes, what the beep, 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 beep. I can't beep, beep, beep. And every other word, beep, 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 beep. He's just freaking out on the video because he's totally healed. And he's cursing like crazy. And it doesn't bother God. Because in a minute, he can minister to his heart. When things get quiet and he's laying on his bed, he can speak to him a little deeper. When his mind's running, God can intercept and answer some thoughts and even touch him with his presence. Now that a seed has been sown, something can grow. Anybody can look at him as fallow ground and fail to plow and sow. Anybody can judge him from outwardly and think, boy, he needs to repent. We got to intercede for him. What's your name again? Joey. Okay. And on your Thursday group, let's pray for Joey. Oh, let's pray for us. We're only praying for Joey because we see what a jerk he was. And you think God's hearing your prayer? No, you pray for Joey because he's lost and deceived and doesn't understand, and he's so much more than he's living. That's why you pray for him. And that's why God would heal him, because he loves him in spite of the lies. I don't know about you, but I like a gospel like that. Jesus came under an Old Testament of law of sin and death and showed mercy to every man. Healed everybody in the city that was full of issues and sin and unforgiveness and pride. And they were healed all across the board without any inner healing or counseling. Oh, tear it up, Jesus. That same Christ is in us, and he's the hope of glory. You know what the hope of glory means? Glory is very simply defined, without doing the word injustice, very simply defined. You could have a 3-day conference on the subject of glory. But very simply, it means any manifest attribute of God is the glory of God. The Christ in you and me is the hope of the manifestation of God. And it's what Paul said he preaches and teaches and warns every man till this mystery is revealed and known, the Christ in you, Nathan. It's the hope of the glory of God. The hope of the manifestation of God in my life today is the Christ who lives in me. He lives there by choice. He wants me to be his home.
He loves this girl. He's sugar and spice and everything nice.
I want to pray something. If I can have one of you precious girls, if you need a tag team, if I get long-winded.
I love you, girl. Oh, my gosh.
We've been doing something almost in every service. We've been letting our heart be an altar before God. I said a whole lot of stuff tonight. Don't let unbelief in the atmosphere stop faith in your heart, okay? Even at the little girl Jairus' daughter's house, we say he drove everybody out of the room to get the unbelief out. We teach it as if he said, little girl, arise, and she just laid there. And again, he said, little girl, arise, and she just laid there. And he looked around and said, you, get out of the room. And then he said, little girl, arise, and she gets up. That's how we teach it. They were flute players. They were hired mourners. Their culture brought in mourners, a team of mourners, and when there was a death, to let the town know somebody died so they could pay their respects before they bury her. And Jesus was simply the resurrection and life coming and saying, what are you guys crying about? She's about to get up. There's no need for a funeral. Stop piping those pipes. There ain't no funeral. I'm here. You might as well go home. They mocked him and scorned him. And he said, get out of the room. We don't need a funeral. They're about to rejoice. Little girl, arise. We have misconstrued teaching in the body of Christ. And the reason it's so detrimental is because if you walk into a hospital room and perceive unbelief, your heart's grieving, you're full of compassion, but you have no faith to pray because you see all this unbelief and despair and tears, and people are way over their heads spiritually because of natural crisis, and you have the kingdom in you, and you walk out and say there's so much unbelief there that God can't move. And all that you were was determined by that instead of Him. You have the right to believe and receive all things. I've been in rooms where they were in comas and everybody was crying, and I've watched their eyes open up. I can introduce you to some people, one boy in particular that would never play sports again, never be normal again. God, there's so many things He's doing. I can introduce you to people back home that could not live. Ed just called my house. I didn't get the message, so I went to the meeting. There he was. This is just this past week. Cancer all through his lungs. Not one trace of cancer in his lungs. Right before that, it was Donna all through her breasts and a big lump on the central wall of her chest. And her doctor was devastated because there's nothing she can do. But Jesus already did something. If we'll just believe. So you don't say, oh my God, Donna, not Donna. God help us. No, you say, cancer, what do you think you're doing? Get out of her. In Jesus' name, loose yourself from her body, for the blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. In the name of Jesus, get out of her flesh. You mountain of adversity and sickness, you leave her. You might not be impressed by what I'm saying if you don't understand, but that cancer was. Because it understands. Because Jesus is Lord. And it just ran out of Donna's body. And I was worshiping in my home church that week with my hands lifted high. And somebody grabs me right in the middle of worship. Pulls me right out of that place I was in. To turn and see a woman beaming and smiling. Thank you for the gospel that you preach. Thank you for the Jesus that you see. Because my doctor can't find one trace of cancer in me. See what's wrong with me? You could take this however you want. I could tell you so many things right now and introduce you to the people that you can't talk me into anything else. You're not going to let the lack of experience and human wisdom talk me out of what I'm seeing and living and tasting. You're not going to let the lack of experience preach away what I know to be true. You say, well, that never happened to me. Well, it happened to me. You might not have watched your wife get off of life support and wake up off the bed with no brain damage after they said it was there. But I did. You following me? You might not have held the two-year-old. That they don't even give months to live, but weeks, because the brain tumor is so aggressive. And I want that baby in my arms. Because I'm not afraid to believe God. I don't say wonder if He doesn't. I said, give me the child.
He's 6 years old now, by the way. He was 2 years at the time. I just read a Christmas card with his picture on it. He will be dead in less than 8 weeks. There's nothing we can do. No one has ever lived with this kind of tumor. Maybe they haven't taken any of those people to Jesus. David Hogan says it's like this. I know a king of a kingdom where you haven't carried them. That little boy came out in the aisle, 2 years old, while I'm preaching. Has a little piece of paper and a pen, and he's marching and drumming in the aisle. He's got a tumor in his head so aggressive that in 8 weeks they said he'll be dead. And a little child, he doesn't know how to fear and cry. He doesn't know how to freak out and call every prayer chain on the planet because he's afraid, not because he's in faith. Hello? He's in the aisle while I'm preaching. I said, like that young man there, I didn't know he had a brain tumor. I just knew they said he had a terminal diagnosis. That's all I knew. I said, like that little boy there, he's like a child. Unless you become like a child, you'll never inherit or see the kingdom. I said, if you were told what he was told, you might not even be able to be here. Your eyes might be so wrung out from crying. You might be reacting in the flesh and the natural, but that child, that's all he knows. And I said, hey, little man. Hey, little guy. He turns, he looks at me, and this is just how it happened. He goes, and he drops the pen and paper. And I said, would you come here? 2 years old. That ain't normal for a 2 year old to run to a stranger. You know, if you had 2 year old. I usually look for mama and run to mama. Come here, little buddy. Let me love you. Jesus is Lord. He goes. Picked him up. I held him. It's amazing. The power of love. I'm massaging the back of his head where the tumor is. Don't even. I'm like this, and I'm rubbing, and I said, cancer, come out of the boy. I command you in the authority of Jesus' name, come out. The mother's looking at my hand. She sees I'm rubbing the very spot, and I don't have a clue. I don't need to have a clue. If I know too much, I might try too hard. I hand that baby back to the mother. He's 6 years old today. No trace or repercussions of a tumor. Jesus smoked that thing because he's Lord. About the power to define your circumstances. Can we ask him to come and love us right now and put a revelation in our heart? Would you ask him personally right now? Don't wait for me to pray. I'm asking, if you're sincere tonight, say, God, I want to be courageous. I want to live this gospel. I want to become love like it's possible to become love. I want to see men the way you see men. I want to know you the way you can be known. I don't want to be religious and traditional and just attend church because it's the right thing to do. God, I must know you, and I thank you for the revelation that you're breathing into my heart. I'm not desperate as if I'm coming to you as if I don't know you. I'm desperate to know you more, God. I want to become love. I want to see what you see. I don't want to be like the 9 disciples. I don't want to touch people and say, yeah.
I want to touch people in compassion and love and know your will. Just open your heart to him. I don't talk about it much. There's tons and tons of people we've prayed for that get healed overnight, 2-3 days. We see them get healed progressively. It's no less the power of God. I just don't talk about it much because then we don't go for the right now stuff. But you need to understand my heart. Faith is not hit, miss, win, or lose. If I don't see a body change, I don't feel like we didn't get something. It's when I let go. It's when I let go. If I believe God didn't come, then as a believer, I close the door. I want you to just ask him to give you wisdom not to ever do that. See, because I did that years ago, 7-8 years ago, with a 9-month-old baby mentally handicapped. And she was seizing at 9 months old and her head was shaking. And I had to hand her back to the mother the same way the mother handed her to me. And my heart was broken. My mind was spinning. And it was the hardest thing. I was falling apart inside. I so wanted that baby to stop shaking. I so wanted that baby to stop seizing. I know he's God and I know he's able and I know his glory can consume this situation. And yet I'm handing the baby back to the mother the same. I was falling apart emotionally. The mother's leaving. She's holding the baby like you carry a baby. And the face is looking at me. And it was just like, oh, I couldn't take it. Right when they're getting to the double doors to leave, I feel like when they go out the doors, it's over and we've lost. A wonderful and awesome, incredible Holy Spirit said, hey, Dan, don't be deceived. Count it an honor and privilege you touched that baby in Jesus' name. I said, oh, my gosh, what was I thinking? I was so caught up with emotion and sentiment. I was watching with my eyes and thinking with my mind. That lady called me. That was Wednesday night. That lady called me Friday morning. That baby was talking and cooing and playing with her toys in the crib. First sound she's made since the seizure. She got her up and ran her to Johns Hopkins and they ran every test and said, every test is negative. We don't know how to explain this. Your baby's normal. She was handicapped for the rest of her life, they thought. I just saw that woman the end of the summer, a child 7 years old in a public school, running, playing, laughing like any other child. But me, the believer, that woman's way over her head spiritually. She's bringing her for help. She's bringing her to where she's hoping there's a revelation of Jesus. And I looked with my eyes and thought with my mind for long enough to be deceived. I preached this gospel constantly. And yet I got so caught up emotionally that I turned faith into hit, miss, win, and lose. And I believed that God didn't move because she didn't change. And I left go of faith and I threw the word of God. And Holy Spirit said, what are you doing? You touched her in Jesus' name and these signs follow. The believer. Oh my gosh. Because in that situation, I honestly believe this. I represent the kingdom. And when I say no, it's no. That sobers me. I wonder what the condition of that little girl would be today if I didn't hear the merciful voice of Holy Spirit fathering me. That's a heavy thought. We're destroyed for the lack of, not the choice of God. Father, we ask you for grace in this place tonight. I ask that the militancy and the consistency of this gospel would burn in our hearts. God, strip us from every lying thing, every fear, every misunderstanding. Let the word preach and speak to us, God. Give us a hunger for your word. Cause us, Lord God, to desire your word like never before. Father, don't let us be okay with just living out of our heads and out of our minds and letting life be our teacher. Lord God, man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word's alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. Heaven and earth's passing away. Your word remains forever. So, Lord, put a hunger for your word in us. Cause us to honor your word and see your word and understand your word. And, Lord, we thank you for it. God, I don't want to be wise in my own opinion. And I have no need to be right. I want to manifest your word. God, help us, your people. I ask you to infuse us with love. I ask you for revelation upon revelation to come to us. We repent before you for every just foolish thing, just the ways of man, God. It's God, thank you for speaking to us. I don't want to live for myself. I thank you. I want to leave here tonight, and I declare I'm leaving here free from me and free from others. Free to love and to be everything you created me to be. I release all men. I release all expectations. I lay down all boundaries. I'm not fenced in. I'm not my own defense. There's nothing to defend. I'm a person of love. You're my rock and my defense. You're my strong tower. You prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You didn't even drive them out of the room. You said, sit up and eat like a king, like a son. That's powerful. God, don't let us be altered by anything but you. Work your kingdom into our understanding right now by grace, Holy Spirit. Father, there was so much conviction in here. There wasn't condemnation. There was light shining. Touch us from the inside. Convert us from the inside. Let our cups be clean, and the outside will be clean. Embrace our perspective and change it to agree with you. In any way necessary, I yield my own self to you, God. And I say, deepen me in this revelation. Consume me with this gospel. I thank you for every level of understanding. Take me deeper into your heart, God. Take me deeper into your mind, Lord. And let me live through who you are. I ask it all in Jesus' name. I ask it for the people. And Lord, we submit ourselves to you. Teach us your love. The Thessalonians had no need for Paul to write to them because you yourself taught them love. If you taught them love, you'll teach us. Thank you. Father, we don't want to have to try to have faith. Faith works through love. Our hearts are yours. I'm telling you, it's a big deal. Forgive all men right now. Release all men. There was a lady here last night sitting right there. She was so holding on, so not releasing. And I took her hand. It was a friend. And she said to the friend that brought her, she said, how did that man know those things about me? How did he see that and say that? How? Because God loves her and knows that she's being deceived if she doesn't let go. He knows that she's hurting herself if she leaves here the same as she came. And he was pleading on behalf of her soul and life. Who knows, God sows amazing seed. Bless her, God, even tonight, even right now, let her heart be before you. Even right now, let the conviction of your words and your love come upon her. Even right now, heal her from the inside. Even right now, give her grace to let go the pain and the hurt and the injustice of men. Even now, God, touch her life. Come on, let go of everything. No man owes you anything. If you think somebody owes you something, then you've given them the right to fail you. Don't be molded by men when he's the great potter. God, thank you for it. It's a big deal, guys. In Jesus' name.